For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam says he's staying put. Meanwhile, Virginians are split by race on whether he should resign and also unsure about the sexual allegations against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. We'll have the details, and we also shovel some compost and talk about global food problems and solutions with students at a national JMU summit. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, February 11th. Richmond activists held a community dialogue on Sunday. They renewed calls for Governor Ralph Northam to step down after he announced his intention to go on a so-called reconciliation tour across the state. WCVE's Roberto Roldan reports.
Activists and residents gathered at the Devil's Half Acre, the site of an old slave trading complex less than a mile from the governor's mansion. They questioned Northam's ability to heal wounds created by admitting he appeared in blackface in the 1980s. Community organizer Chelsea Higgs Wise says she campaigned for Northam in 2017, and she only heard him mention African Americans twice throughout his entire campaign.
Every black event that he went to, I went, and he said it twice for months. He's never been able to talk about blackness.
Attendees were encouraged to write down their ideas for how Virginia could move toward racial equity. They included the removal of Confederate monuments and the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment.
That's WCVE's Roberto Roldan reporting. Many African Americans in Virginia who overwhelmingly supported Northam for governor more than a year ago still support him, but that support has slipped quite a bit. And Virginians are divided by race over whether Northam should resign over racist photos on his medical school yearbook page. A new poll by the Washington Post and George Mason University finds that a majority of African-American residents in Virginia say he should remain in office by a margin of 58% to 37%. White residents are less supportive. Overall, Virginians are split on the question of whether Northam should step down, with 47% in favor and 47% opposed. The poll also finds that a majority of Virginians, 60%, think Attorney General Mark Herring should stay in office after his own admission of wearing blackface in college. Also, in the Washington Post poll, a majority of respondents said they do not know enough about the sexual assault allegations against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax to judge his denial of the accusations. Virginia Democratic Delegate Patrick Hope plans to introduce articles of impeachment for Lieutenant Governor Fairfax on Monday. This comes after two sexual assault allegations against him, but it's not clear that Hope will have the support that he needs or the constitutional basis to begin the impeachment process. WCVE's Megan Pauley reports.
According to Virginia's constitution, a majority of delegates would have to first sign on to support impeachment. Then the Senate would conduct a trial, including testimony under oath from the accusers and the accused. But this isn't a legal process, just political. And there are serious questions raised by both legal experts and lawmakers about whether sexual assault allegations against Fairfax qualify as grounds for impeachment. Language in the state constitution specifies the process only applies to wrongdoing in office, corruption, neglect of duty, high crimes, or misdemeanors. Megan Pauley, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
So far, Fairfax is resisting calls to step down, but what happens if he resigns? Well, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has this look at what happens next.
The last time Virginia had a vacancy in the role of lieutenant governor was back in 1971, when 34-year-old Sergeant Reynolds died of a brain tumor. At that time, the Senate Majority Leader presided over the Senate until a special election was conducted 5 months later. But Reynolds died before the new 1971 Constitution took effect, so Virginia has no real precedent for filling the job under the current rules. Virginia legal expert Rich Kelsey says the current Constitution is clear.
It is rock solid, not subject for interpretation. The governor gets to make the appointment, and that appointee serves until the next general election.
That's the next general election for lieutenant governor, says Kelsey, which is 2021. That means whoever the governor appoints to the job of lieutenant governor will likely serve for more than 2 years and be first in line to become governor in the event that Ralph Northam decides to step down after all. Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says that appointment would be a significant step out of the current crisis for Democrats.
The best thing for Democrats is that they very quickly replace him with, just being raw political here, with an African-American, because I just think they would want to settle that issue.
At the top of the list of names being floated as potential replacements to fill the role of lieutenant governor, State Senator Jennifer McClellan of Richmond. I'm Michael Pope.
James Madison University will name a residence hall after a freed slave who was once owned by Madison. The Washington Post reports that JMU honored former slave Paul Jennings on Friday by naming the new residence hall after him. The building in Harrisonburg will open this fall and have 500 beds. Jennings spent more than half his life as an enslaved servant to Madison and his wife, Dolly Madison. That time included Madison's stay in the White House as the nation's fourth president. Jennings later earned his freedom and owned a home. JMU has about 22,000 students. Only about 5% of its undergraduates are Black. Finally today, also at JMU, there was a large student summit over the weekend. Students from across the country explored solutions to food insecurity and other global issues related to food. They also spent some time shoveling compost, as WMRA's Bridget Manley reports.
The 2019 Emerging Creatives Student Summit brought more than 80 students from 26 research universities across the U.S. to the campus in Harrisonburg this weekend. Their goal? Share new ideas on food and the natural world. The students explored solving big issues such as food insecurity, the impact of food production on the environment, and the relationship between food and place. Alexandria Schaefer is a senior and biology major at JMU. Friday afternoon, she found herself shoveling compost at Vine and Fig in Harrisonburg, a nonprofit organization that promotes sustainable food and living, as well as housing for the homeless and refugees. Between shovels, the students talked about different sources of renewable energy, from the fanciful to the practical.
So many people are like, they got funding, and they were like, oh, we could put these giant mirrors in space so it can reflect back the radiation. And then thinning clouds, they spread salt like on top of clouds to thin it.
Yeah. We could all just be better citizens and stop like messing up our only home. But you know, no, space mirrors.
Schaefer says that unlike other summits and conferences she's been to in the past, the work that she and her team were able to do over the weekend could have a lasting real-world impact as the students go out into the world after graduation.
I think the best way that this is sort of contributing to that real-world impact is doing things like this, like we're actually out here shoveling compost, moving logs around, like doing river cleanups.
Trevor Bashaw is a student poet who traveled from the University of Kansas. He says the conference would help him be more mindful of food and the natural world.
I mostly do poetry stuff, but I'm really interested in sort of ecological poetry and having sort of like my lifestyle or artistic practice reflect my writing. And so I just wanted to get some opportunities to sort of like connect with the natural world, and food is a great way to do that, I think.
University of Virginia student Caroline Alberti was on the banks of Black's Run picking foam out of the piles of waste that washed up on the shore. She says that her group decided to work on the idea of food waste and where it is generated. And she's most excited to take what she's learned back to Charlottesville.
Well, I'm pretty active in the food space in Charlottesville, so I'm really excited to take these experiences, and I feel like I've already learned so much from talking to other people and listening to speakers, so I'm eager to take that back to the foodscape in Charlottesville because it's pretty vibrant there.
The students worked over the weekend in small groups to come up with projects to present on Sunday, all while taking part in musical performances, panel discussions, guest artists, and field experiences designed to give them an interdisciplinary approach to solving problems.
But this is no ordinary room.
The theme of this year's summit, Food and Place, fits really well with the Shenandoah Valley, according to faculty members at JMU, because of its reliance on agriculture. The summit is held every year at a different university. The students, all studying various disciplines, presented their ideas to a panel of instructors on Sunday. Now that students have returned home, summit organizers hope those ideas are already generating new food strategies for their communities. For WMRA News, I'm Bridget Manley.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Monday.